I'm going to give this title of "Does my vision look big in this?" The picture that you see on the screen is of the greatest city in this nation. It is of Manchester, and that view is very, very different to the one that I remember growing up. So I grew up in South Manchester, where there's trees. I then worked for 2 years in North Manchester, where there's no trees. And then I moved back to South Manchester, because there's trees. And then I was a kids pastor for 6 years in the church I grew up in. And then God called us, probably after about 5 years of that, to move to Yorkshire, because Lord is needed in Yorkshire. And we were 7 years there, 0 to 25s. And then God called us back to Manchester. And the church that I'm part of, St. Philip's, it's a beautiful building. It's like an old Wesleyan chapel. St. Mary's, where John Peters is our big sister church, really. It's massive compared to ours. Ours can probably fit inside it. But the roof is flat. And I love heights. Like, I'm quite happy climbing up anything with harness or without harness. I think many would hope I would use harness most of the time, but I don't. Actually, I go and spend quite a bit of time on the rooftop of our church. I took this from Mark Batterson, who leads a church in America. They've got a coffee shop called Ebenezer's, and he has his prayer space up on the roof. Now, I'm guessing he probably gets to pray a little bit more, because it's probably sunshine a bit more often than I do in Manchester. But when I go up on the rooftop, I can see strange ways. I can see the financial district of Manchester. I can view on the other side towards where my house is. I can view toward from where my house is. I can actually see Yorkshire nearly. But that's like the Shadowlands, you know, in Lion King. But I want us to think about vision, because I don't know that we always think enough about vision as children's, families and youth workers. I think we sometimes get a little bit embroiled in the detail that we don't think big. And as I was travelling down, I was just kind of thinking about what we're going to do, and a song came on my Spotify playlist, which is called Waymaker. And it says, these are the lines of the chorus, all right? It says, Waymaker, miracle worker, not miracle maker. That's a different film. Promise keeper, light in the darkness. And what I want to do for the next 4 hours is just unpack. My train's not to layer. But I really want us to look at these four things in respect of what vision is, and then how do we actually outplay the stuff that we've been listening, hearing about today as well. Okay, so we might just skimstone it a little bit, but because I want to open up for prayer as well. But Waymaker, Isaiah 54 verse 2, it says this: enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For me, a waymaker is the one that goes ahead. It's the pioneer. It's the one who will. I had a vicar who would quite happily say that, for vision wise, he was the one that would run through the wall and didn't care what mess he left, because he could see beyond the wall. And I guess, if we're going to be waymakers, if we're going to really enlarge the place of our tent. Because some of the stuff you've heard today, your brain has just gone, boom. I could see that working, I could see that, I could do that, we could do this, we could do the other. I'm sat in this meeting this last week with the New Wine leaders, and I'm very quiet. That's not normal, just to let you know. I'm normally the loud one in these meetings. But I was just going, well, if that's what you're doing, kids ministry is going to be doing this, 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 this. Like, I could see it all. And that's the enlarging the place of your tent. How big is your vision for your children's ministry, for your youth ministry, for your family ministry? Because the reality is that God's is even bigger than what you've got. But if we are to enlarge the place of our tent, we also need to strengthen the stakes. We need to strengthen what we're already good at. Right, and I think that for us to be a way maker, for people who are going to move things forward, we also need to have a little bit of detail and a little bit of gumph about us. We need to know what we're about as well. Okay? You know, we think about the Old Testament stories where God, like Moses says, isn't it? We're not going anywhere unless you move. And then it's the cloud of, or it's the pillar of fire and pillar of cloud at night. Like, we need to know who we are and who we're serving to actually move this thing forward. All right? For us to be waymakers, I think we need to know what is it that we're enlarging our place of tent, but also what are the stakes? What are the things that are unique to what it is that you're doing that will strengthen the thing that you're doing compared to the other churches in and around? Because I should tell you right now, I'm not here for an empire. I'm here for a kingdom. So I want to cheer on whatever else is happening in Manchester. In Manchester, where we are, we've also got Audacious. Now, I don't know if you know anything about the AOG Church, Assemblies of God, but Audacious has got like between five and 10,000 people, and they're in our parish. We're lucky if we... Well, we're now probably up to about 200, 250 members. It would be quite easy for us to go, you got way more than us. They're just about to start a £25 million building project. We could feel really quite small. Instead, we decided as a staff team, we're going to get to know those guys as well as we can. Partly so we can use their building, but also because we want to cheer each other on. If we're going to be waymakers in our cities, in our places, we can't do it on our own. One of my stakes is I want to know which youth pastors in Manchester are doing the stuff, because if my young people don't like what's going on in my church, I want to send them to a good church that's doing the stuff that's really going to help them grow, you know? So let's be waymakers. Let's really think, what's our vision, and that's what are the things that we are kind of making solid, which is ours, and cheering on what else is going on. Waymaker. Next one is miracle worker. Zechariah, I don't know if you follow the morning prayer. Susie's like, you what? But as a staff team, every morning we pray, and we generally use the daily readings. And this week it's been Zechariah. And Zechariah 8, I was struck by this week, and the reality is with vision, we can dream all we want. It's actually God that makes it happen, I believe. Like, God is the one, like, I can have a dream for New Wine Kids Ministry, I can have a vision for our kids ministry and our youth ministry and our church, but actually it's God who's the one who brings about the miracle. Now listen to this, verse 3 of Zechariah 8. This is what the Lord says, I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem, then Jerusalem will be called the City of Truth, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the Holy Mountain. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with a cane in hand because of his age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. This is what the Lord Almighty says. It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people at this time, but will it seem marvelous to me, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will save my people from the countries, from the east and from the west. There's a sense of, at this time, it's not great. They aren't huge in number, Jerusalem. It's not going well for them. And yet God says, no, I am going to see this happen. I will see this happen. And I think later on it says, this will come true because I have declared it. Basically, it will happen. All you've got to do is obey. So if the vision that you receive is from God, you just have to obey it. And actually, he's the one that does the miracle. He's the one that's going to bring all those people back together. He's the one that's going to bring the ripe old age back together. And he's also going to fill the streets with boys and girls, is what he's told Zechariah to tell the people. So what your vision is, as long as we lay it before God and we don't become all about us, actually, the miracle happens when I give it over to him. Because then it's not about me. It's about him taking what I'm sensing is from him anyway and going, God, blow it up. You know? Because the kids' life thing I was talking about, and we were getting 9. When I was praying around our church building, which looks like a Wesleyan old building, we can seat 1,700 in our building if fire regs allowed. And I saw 800 boys and girls in that space. And I'm still going to God going, when's that going to happen? Because I want to see it. I want you to see the things that God is giving you and placing on your heart. It might not be 800. It might be 10. You know, that's okay. But know that he is the one that brings about the miracle. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Proverbs 22 verse 6. Classic kids verse. All right. Train a child when he is young, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. There is a massive significance about the role that you play in your church. You may not feel it, but I can guarantee that it has a huge impact, even if it's just one. There's a story in Acts 3 where there's the beggar at the gate, and Peter puts out his right hand, and I've got nothing. I've not got silver. I've not got gold. He says, but I've got Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And he stands up, and through Peter's obedience to one, 5,000 are added to their number. It's a promise that if we train our children in the way they should go, when they are old, they will not depart from it. What was it with the younger brother? What did he do in his moment of crisis? He went home to what he knew. He wasn't expecting what God was about to give him. He wasn't expecting a fatted calf and a gold ring and a robe and sandals on his feet. No, he was just expecting to be a servant. But the God that we serve is a one who brings the promise and then absolutely smashes it out of the park, as far as I'm concerned. And so, if he is the promise keeper, the vision that you have, keep laying it before him, because he's the promise keeper. If he said yes, it will happen. If we keep on going and investing in these boys and girls, who knows what he can do? But it's over to him. There's only so much we can do. I don't really fully understand why I'm in the roles I'm in at times, I'll be honest with you. All right? I'm like Moses. I can't speak properly. I've not murdered anybody yet, but very close to it. You know, I've not done those things, but I do. I feel like I don't speak properly. I've got different things going on. I'm not the best person for this job. And yet, when I was 14, God gave me a picture as I'm sat behind a drum kit of standing in front of thousands worshipping him. He's the promise keeper, and it will come to fruition. He will do it as long as we stay in step with him. And I also don't understand the amount of times I stand in the queue at New Wine waiting for my food. That's another story, but... And the amount of people that come to me and say, you're Rick, aren't you? I'm like, well, yeah, because I'm New Wine Head of Kids Ministry, I've got this massive badge, which actually has got my face on it and everything, kind of gives it away. And they're like, oh, well, I just wanted to say that, thanks. I'm like, who are you? And they're like, well, when I was 8 years old, this person's like 20, 21, 25, whatever. When I was 8, you gave me the opportunity to say yes to following Jesus, and it was the best decision I made. I've never met that person from Adam, right? Not many of them are called Adam either. But as we do this stuff, we don't know what it's going to become, but God is the promise keeper. We train them when they're young, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Finally, light in the darkness. Matthew 5, it says this. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men and women and children, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. As we do this, our light gets bigger. I'm convinced. So, moving into Ripon, North Yorkshire, they'd been praying for 10 years for a youth worker, and they got me, a kids worker. And the way it looked was, it looked really good. They had lots of people on team. They had this crypt underneath the church, which had been all done out, so there weren't still any dead people in it. And upstairs in the main church, different story. But so I'm outside of Yorkshire by a long way. But we, the team were like blunt pencils. Some of them weren't even working properly. Like they'd broken up like years ago. Or like some of them needed sharpening. Some of them needed to be, you know, we love that job in kids' ministry, don't we? We have to test the pens and the pencils and sharpen it all. Like, some of them had to be moved aside. Some people who were serving on our kids' team didn't even know who Jesus was. And so there was a bit of a work to be done in that. But as I'm praying, well, probably while I was sorting out pens or something like that, I just saw a picture of a mustard seed, and the story of the mustard seed is that apparently they grow wherever they want, and then they inhabit the whole crop. And there was just a sense that what God was starting to do was he was going to start with the mustard seed, the smallest, the children, and it would just start to inhabit the place. And I got quite excited by that. And then I started to push some doors locally, and by the end of 7 years, we were in, as a church, every school in Ripon. We also had a holiday club that went from 36 to 150. And you kind of go, well, that's great. And it was absolutely incredible. But for me and my team, we were just faithful with the mustard seed. And as we were faithful with that, our light, sorry to change the analogy, but our light started to get brighter in the city, to the point where we were invited into meetings. I got invited by the head of the grammar school, who at times didn't agree with my dress sense. I mean, I only wore a Cookie Monster jumper once, but he didn't really like that idea. And it was proper strict. And clearly, as you can see, I really am that. And he invited me in when Ofsted were in. Surprisingly, they didn't come into assembly. But I was then asked to go and sit and talk with Ofsted. I was like, okay. I mean, this guy was a member of our church. Whether he moved in the world of Holy Spirit ministry, I'm not so sure. But he said, well, can you just meet with Ofsted? And I was like, yeah, okay. Why? He says, well, because what you're doing at church is having an effect on my school. And I want that to be seen in the conversation with Ofsted. And so I sat and I waited and I waited and I waited, and then the chair of the Ofsted team sat me down and she said, what are you here for? I said, well, I'm the youth worker in the church. I really love Jesus, and we're doing this, this, this and this to support this school because this school is epic. And she was like, And through that conversation, different things then started to happen in that school. Another primary school that I ended up being their school chaplain. And I sat down with the head teacher and I said, why do you want to give me the school chaplaincy? He said, why? Because there's something different when you as a church walk into our building. Light in the darkness is what we are. As we increase in what we do, our light gets brighter. You don't put a basket over the top of it. Because in those days, they didn't have electricity. So what would have happened to a basket, to a candle? It would have set on fire. So the vision that God's given you, the things that you've heard today, the various ideas and all the things that are spinning around your head, and as you sit on the train or in the car on the way home and you're trying to write this stuff down, I encourage you to really think, what is it that God's calling us into? What's the way forward? Which we can have our human vision for, but what's God's vision for it, which is the miracle? And what are the promises he's giving us? Like, what's the Bible say about this stuff? Because the Bible's quite good on children. Some quite amazing things that happen. He chose to speak to Samuel when he was a kid, which then changed the face of a nation. Like, what are the promises that God's given you? What are those words that you've just received? I joked with Jude that, you know, if you're going to pray for me, I want Australia and I want New Zealand. In actual fact, the word she gave me was pretty much nailed on from what a friend of mine had given me not that long ago, which is really annoying. I'm not going to lie. I'd really love Australia. But God's given the promises. Now, let's shine. Because the only way we're going to see boys and girls changed in this nation is through people like you and me. It really is. It's not about the people who do the big things. I love my leaders at New Wine. It would be really illegal if it was just me and 2,000 children for a week. But I love the fact that those guys are superstars. But what I find even more attractive about them is they do it week in, week out, with the small. My leaders aren't working with 400 boys and girls in one age group. I'm not working with 400 boys and girls. I'm working with the 9, with the 15. So God can do this through you. And you might say, no, he can't. Have you seen the children in my church? You haven't seen the kids in my church. He can. We've just got to step out and do it. So, does your vision look big in this? Is it big enough, dare I ask? I just had a quick chat with Jude outside about some of my plans 5 years in time for New Wine Kids Ministry. The spider diagram in my head is ridiculous. But what vision does is it excites us. Gives us something to go, we're gunning for that. Final story. In my church I grew up in as a kid, I didn't find it hard to get volunteers because everybody knew me. In Ripon it was a different story because nobody knew me. Until one day I realised that I needed £20,000 because I wanted to go on holiday. No, because I wanted to increase what we were doing. And I went to the vicar and I said, hey, can I have £20,000? He said, yeah. Sorry, what? And then he phoned up the finance guy and said, well, yeah, he could, but I think it's really important that he takes it to the church council and then we'll take it to the church. And so I went to the PCC meeting, having not really got much more than the back of a fag packet idea. And I sold the vision of what I wanted to see. And the PCC deliberated, and then they I was sent out of the room. You know that really awkward thing when you're sent out of the room? I was like, oh, it's like being back at the head teacher's office. They said, you know what, Rick? We love it. Yes. But no. What? Yes, but no? Well, yes, we are in. We love it. No from us. Take it to church. That was on the Thursday night. So on the Sunday, so in one day I had to put together a video with a mate of mine. Thankfully he was really good with the camera and really good at editing. And we went to the church, put the video on and said, basically, look, church, this is what we see happening. This is what we're doing now, and this is what we see happening. Can you pledge? Can you give? And then I stood up on the Sunday morning and I said, look, this is what we want to see. And which part of the jigsaw do you want to play? Because some jigsaws have got really big pieces. And we really need those big pieces. But we also need the really small ones. So it doesn't matter what you're going to give, give. And I was really nervous. Even though I knew that the PCC had said yes, I was still quite worried about, are we going to get this? But I sold the vision of what I wanted to see our children and young people become. And I was absolutely amazed that within a week we had everything that we needed and we were able to go and do the things that we were able to do. And I didn't struggle for volunteers after that. Why? Because I sold the vision. And that's one of the things that I don't know that we do that well. We're banging the drum as loud as we can, but no one's hearing us. Why are they not hearing us? Because we're not selling the vision. We're just making a lot of noise. And we do make noise quite well. But I think that if we're able to sell the vision of what we want to see in our youth, our children's, our families' ministries, people buy into that. They don't buy into, we need more paper. They'll buy into, we'd love to see more boys and girls come to here on a Sunday morning. So an extra piece of paper would be great. If we change it, because God is the one who makes the way. He is the miracle worker. He is the promise keeper. And he is light in the darkness. He's all those things. But we play a part as well. So, let's stand. Maybe all four of those resonate with you, but which one of those four things that I've talked about, waymaking, maybe some of us today have received something that maybe we've got to have a hard conversation or an interesting conversation with our church councils. Of like, look, I see this, and actually we're just feeling really worried and we need to step out in boldness. And if you sense that God's given you something over the last few months or even today, I want you to come and stand at the front in a moment. If you're going, God, I've got this vision, but I don't see it happening, I need to trust you for that miracle to see boys and girls out in the streets singing your praises or whatever it might be. I want you to go to the back of the room and we'll pray for you there. If the whole idea that can I really trust God with this, I just want you to stand with your hands open wide where you are. And if there's something about, I just want to shine brighter, Jesus. I want you to do something a little bit crazy, which is I want you to put your hands right up high in the air, because then you are signalling something. So if you need more boldness, come to the front, way making. If you need to know that the miracle, and you're just not sure it's going to happen, I want you to go to the back. If you need to know that the promise is the promise, I want you to just wait on God where you are. And if there's something about, I want to shine brighter, I see it, I know it, I know you've got the promise, but I'm just want to make it, I want it to shine brighter, I want you to put your hands high up in the air. So Holy Spirit, come. By the way, I'm not sure what you're going to do if it's all four. but Holy Spirit, come, I pray. We could probably do all four, but whichever one, God, you're laying on our heart most. Come. When you're ready, I encourage you to move. The band are going to play quietly over us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Seminar speaker guys, can you move around and start praying over people? I'll come do the same.
I thank you for what you have started or rebirthed in us. Lord, I pray that as we go back, that we will choose love over power. We will choose the cross over control. And Lord, the vision that you're putting on us, may we see that happen and multiply, so that generation to generation may commend your works to another. I'm reminded that when he breathed into life, he breathed life. So Lord, as we go from this place, I pray that there will just be breath of life coming into us. I pray for great stories to be heard over these next few weeks, 3 months, few years of what you've done. In your name. Amen. If you're still receiving, cool. If you need to move off, that's fine. Bless you. Kids Leaders Summit's only got 20 places left, so you want to book on quick. And also, you want to book on team, because that's where we capture this stuff. You know, I said I caught a bug 15 years ago. I encourage you to catch the same one. Thank you, guys. Bless you. Eternity and beyond.